The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And
let's
now,
go, let's
here's
go,
your
let's
host,
go, let's
Steve
go.
Noble.
Not that, me, I'm a little low. Hi, everybody. How are you? Welcome back. I hope you had a good weekend. So if you're on a college campus, and you see, a new building or maybe part of an old building that's all of a sudden looks like a library, looks like someplace you might be able to go study. There's not a lot of students in there. But it says the Multicultural Center, and you're white. Would you say, oh, that's not for me? Because it's a multicultural center, and there's no such thing as white culture. So if it's a multicultural center, multiculture, but doesn't include white culture, because white culture apparently doesn't exist, then you don't go in. So does this make sense? Hi, is this on? Anybody home? Hi, welcome back again. I hope you had a great weekend. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. So maybe you've seen the video or heard the audio from Arizona State University last week to, what are we calling them? Two peak white cis male blankety blank guys, cis male. So let me just make sure you understand the terms of the game here. Peak white. Peak means, I don't know if she's saying P-I-Q-U-E or peak like mega. Peak white. I'm going to go with mega, like very white. Cis male, which means you still identify with the sex and the gender of your birth. So outy boy, any girl. It's as far as I hopefully need to go. So cis male. You peak white cis male people. Go into the Multicultural Center at Arizona State University, and that doesn't go real well for you. You're sitting there with your computer, and you and your friend, and you're in there studying. But on the back of your computer, unfortunately, to flag you as an incredibly racist person is a Police Lives Matter sticker. So you go into the Multicultural Center as a white person with a Police Lives Matter sticker on the back of your computer. So when your computer's open, other people are forced to see it and then forced to deal with the fact that you're clearly a racist. Are you with me at this point? Is this making sense to you? And then especially for a white person, every single part of the campus, that being Arizona State University, centers you. It all centers you, which I assume in today's ideology and language, that means everything on campus is built for you as a white cisgendered person, white cisgendered male. All right. So you still identify with the gender, sex. How are we supposed to say that these days? Of your birth. But everything on campus caters to you. But the Multicultural Center doesn't. Am I making sense? Yeah. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. This actually happened last week. So these two white students were confronted by two people of color on campus. And then I've got 11 points. I've got a couple other stories. I might not have time to get to them because it's going to take so much time to unpack this. But I think there's a lot to learn here and a lot to discuss. So I'm going to play this whole clip for you. It's only two minutes and 20 seconds. The original is like almost 8 minutes long, but it just gets infuriating and maddening. So I'm only going to subject you to two minutes and 20 seconds of it. In the original clip, there's some bad language. We used some duck quacks to cover that up. So you won't hear the bad language, but we're going to play the whole clip for you, okay? And then I've got 11 different points here I want to go through that I think are very important to understand where we're at as a culture, what's happening to our young people, and if you ever are caught in a situation like this, are you ready to have a decent conversation? Can you have it? Not only spiritually are you ready, but mentally are you ready? Emotionally are you ready? With all the kinds of name-calling and everything that you're going to hear here, this is getting more and more common. I think it's going to dial because this is all part of cancel culture and wokeism and stuff, but you still need to hear it. I think it's a good lesson. And so that's why I want to take some time today. And then our good friend David Fisher will be back on the fourth segment. He's been literally deathly ill with COVID, he and his wife. He's got quite the story to tell about that because COVID can be a killer. I've never said it isn't. But for the vast majority of it isn't. For us, it isn't. Praise the Lord for that. And we'll talk to David, but next week we're going to do a full Money Monday. So he really wants to share a lot about that and what he learned about treating COVID. And then the Lord's just apparently not done with David Fisher yet because he's brought him through quite a bit in the last couple of years. But let's go. I'm going to play this clip. So just listen. I'm not going to say anything. I just want you to listen. And then we'll pick it apart one piece after another. Ready? Let's go.
He's brought him through quite a bit in the last couple of years.
But let's go. I'm going to play this clip.
But this is our
space. So just listen. I'm not going to say anything. I just want you to listen. And then we'll pick it apart.
Can't do
school. We're just trying to do school.
What?
You just said we have to leave.
No, I said, but this is our space.
You're making this space uncomfortable.
But you're white. Do you understand what a multicultural space? It means you're not being centered.
White's not a culture?
No, it's not a culture. It's white is not a culture.
You're making this space uncomfortable.
You think whiteness is...
You're right.
Do you understand what a multicultural space is?
Anyway, this is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect.
It's white is not a culture.
This white man thinks he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space. Because they think they can get away with it.
This is the violence that ASU does, and this is the type of people that they protect.
This white man thinks he can take up our space, and this is why we need a multicultural space. Because they think they can get away with it.
Okay, so we're going to work on that because it's kind of playing over itself, but I'm going to take you through it, okay? So there's these two guys, the two white guys there, Arizona State University students, and they're in the quote-unquote multicultural center. Maybe you've seen this video, okay? And we're going to work on that because it was playing on top of itself, which is why you kind of heard kind of the same thing over and over again. So we're going to work on that. We'll get that figured out. But then these two girls, because the one guy has a Police Lives Matter sticker on his laptop, okay? And his laptop's open, so you see it on the back. And that's when they engaged him because his sticker is offensive, to which I would say, so what? There's all kinds of things that are offensive. Do you have, let me just ask a quick question. Do you have some kind of a constitutional right? Is there something in the student handbook that says you actually have a right to never be offended? Because I could say that I'm being offended by your caustic approach right now. That's offensive to me. There's all kinds of things on campus that offend me. There's all kinds of things around town that offend me. But do you have a right to not be offended? So offensive, if you're offended now, that's like become a criminal case. You can't offend me. I can't? Of course I can. That's the result. That's one of the potential downsides of living in a free society where free speech, well, I guess used to be cherished, is people can say things that offend you. And you can say things that offend other people. But so far, that's not a punishable offense. But perhaps at Arizona State University it is. Certainly in the Multicultural Center it is. There's so much more to go through here. We'll do it right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I think you guys were probably hearing things okay, but it was circling back through my headphones because I was hearing what was going on Facebook Live at the same time. So on the radio versus Facebook, for some of you, you're on Facebook and some of you are on radio. Facebook is delayed by about 10 or 11 or 12, sometimes 15 seconds. So what happens here in the studio, if I'm watching Facebook at the same time, I'm going to hear it 15 seconds later. So if I have Facebook audio going through my ear set, you can imagine that would get a little confusing. But that was just for me. I think that was my treat. I don't think that was anybody else's treat. But let me go through some of these things and then don't worry about it right now. I'm not going to play it again right now. So here's what happened. Now, these two people of color, students at Arizona State University, and then the two white guys. Okay, and the white guys are sitting there studying in the multicultural center. Some people said, what's a multicultural center? Well, that's a great question. Multicultural center, and then the girls go on in the extended clip. They're like, you have no idea. It took us 4 years to get this done, to have to create a multicultural center, which means we're going to focus on the non-dominant culture. A multicultural, if I say, hey, let's go to this multicultural center, this multicultural library, what would you think? You would think there's going to be some emphasis there on people of color, Asian, Hispanic, African-American, maybe Jewish, maybe something outside the Judeo-Christian worldview, multicultural, right? Maybe there's something there that's Russian. Maybe there's something there that's European. Maybe there's some South American flavor, whatever. So multicultural. But would you read the multicultural sign in your head, think no white people? Well, that's what these young Arizona State girls obviously, that was their position. These two white guys go into the multicultural center, strike one, and then one of them has a Police Lives Matter sticker on their computer. Strike two, which means by definition, he's a racist. Strike three, get out. Because this is a multicultural center, which we spent later in the clip, a long clip. She goes, 3 or 4 years. You have no idea how hard it was for us to get a multicultural center. Well, could they put a sign out front that says no whites allowed? All right, so let me just go through these points, and then I'll play this clip again. Okay, so you'll hear it one more time. But she's saying the sticker is offensive, to which I say, so what? We don't have a right to not be offended. There's all kinds of things that offend me. There's no law. Now, if you can show me an Arizona State University where they have some kind of a rule that says nothing offensive for anybody, who gets to define what's offensive? See the problem there, right? So for somebody to say, well, it's offensive, I would say, I'm sorry, you take I understand that you take offense to it, but you don't have a right to force me to shut up so that you're not offended. We all get offended by stuff every day. So that's just part of living in a free speech culture. Do you want free speech? You're exercising it right now. So apparently you like free speech, just not when it's something you don't want to hear or see. Well, you live in America where we believe in free speech. So I have a right to be offensive. You have a right to be offended. You do not have a right to not be offended. Okay? All right? There's that. This is our space, a multicultural center. Our space. Then I would just say, so are you saying that whites aren't allowed here? Because one of these girls is definitely more belligerent than the other. It's the girl that's louder and is talking more. And there's another girl who's much calmer. But this is our space, the multicultural center. So I would just say, okay. Maybe I misunderstood something. Are whites not allowed to come in here? So is this a non-white multicultural center? Because I hope you do realize that that's actually against the law. Because then you would be discriminating based on, let's see, what are those things? Age, sex, race. Oh, that's right. Race, like Caucasian. So you can't do that. That's illegal. And I'm sure you're probably not suggesting that whites aren't allowed in the building. No, odds are they'd say, no, whites can come in here. Just not your kind. Because you have a Police Lives Matter on there. You are making this space uncomfortable. Why? Why? But he's like, well, how are you doing that? And she's like, because you're white. And that's when he came back. White is not a culture. But you're white. This is a multicultural center. Again. All right, hold on a second. Let me make sure I understand you. You're saying this is a multicultural center, and because it's a multicultural center, whites aren't allowed. Is that what you're saying? Because, again, I would like to remind you that discriminating based on race is illegal in this country. Just like if we had a place across the street that said no blacks, no Hispanics, no Jews, no Asians, we should all have a problem with that. That's discrimination based on race. You can't do that. So you can't open a multicultural center and then say no whites. Okay, so let's keep moving. White is not a culture. All right, that's what she says. White is not a culture. However, you live in a country that was dominated by white Europeans. Established from an American perspective, there were obviously indigenous people here beforehand, for a long time beforehand. North America was not originally discovered by Europeans, and Christopher Columbus never even stepped foot on it. So, okay, but you have the dominant culture is white Anglo-Saxon Protestant from Europe. So when people say, if I say, because I'm a white guy, well, we don't have a white culture, ask other people that are not white or European. Do you think there's a white culture? Of course there is. Of course there's a white culture. And if you saw these two guys and the way they looked and the way they dress and the way they carry themselves, I'd say, yeah, that's kind of a white culture. I'm just not aware of it because the white culture is the dominant culture in America. But there is one. Chick-fil-A, baseball, apple pie, Chevrolet, and apparently Police Lives Matter. That's white culture. So for her to say there's no such thing as white culture is just ridiculous. Then she says, this is the violence. This is how far feelings have gone. This is the violence that ASU does, meaning Arizona State University. This is the violence that Arizona State University does. The type of people that they protect. What type of people would that be? That would be white people that support the police. This is the violence that ASU does. So all of a sudden, putting a bumper sticker on my... So putting a... Excuse me, ma'am. Can I ask you a quick question, please? Thanks. So I'm white. I have a Police Lives Matter sticker on my computer. And you feel like that's violent towards you in some way? How does Arizona State do violence against you? Because she goes on to say that this whole place is centered. Every single part of the campus centers you, meaning gives you a privileged position, I assume. I haven't had time to look this up in the Urban Dictionary. What does it mean that the campus centers you? And you're saying that to a white person. Well, that means everything else on campus is not multicultural. It's just all for you white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, apparently. And you see where this is totally based on emotion, not based on logic. I'm not saying for 1 second that we shouldn't have a conversation about whites, blacks, Hispanic, people of colors, the interaction now and in the past in this country, because obviously there's a lot of racial conversations to have. I'm not saying we don't have those. But she's gone, people like this, and this is not terribly abnormal, have gone so far, and I think the problem is that we've raised a generation of pretty wimpy people who had mom and dad helping them complete, if not plain old doing their fourth grade science project for them so that they can excel, so that they can feel great, because we don't want them to fail. So we're helicopter parents and lawnmower parents, and we created a generation that are used to just kind of getting things their way because we catered to them. And in doing so, for those that had parents in the home, because 42% of the kids growing up in America today don't even have a dad in the house. So the whole thing has collapsed. So what you end up with, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear this word, especially younger people, is all these entitled. You're just entitled. I want to make sure your feelings aren't hurt. I want to make sure you get what you want. I want to make sure that the world is exactly the way you want it to be. Except that doesn't happen for anybody. Not anybody. And that's where this whole snowflakes thing comes in, which I would never say, call a young person a snowflake to their face, because you just went nowhere. So there's ways to do this and ways not. There's a whole lot more to unpack. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The World As It Is. This is Steve Noble and The Steve Noble Show, working our way through this disturbing video. Disturbing, frustrating, maddening, whatever you want to call it. Out of Arizona State University last week, two white guys are in the Multicultural Center studying. Two women of color engage them. They're offended because the one guy's got a Police Lives Matter sticker on, which makes you a racist by definition. So I'm just working my way through some of the things that they said and what you deal with this. Okay, so they're talking about a multicultural space, but because you're white in there, that's a problem. So there's no such thing as white culture, although that's what America, for the most part, has been as its base culture. Its majority culture is white culture. Why? Because the majority of people in America for years have been white. That's the majority culture. That's why when African-Americans are doing church, it's a little differently than whites. Or when Asians do church, that's a little differently than a purely pretty much all white church, right? Different styles, different cultures. But there is a white culture. Which is why some people of color, not obviously not all, but some they're bugged by that, because America's been like pretty much this white country, although we've been a melting pot for years. But the dominant race in America since its founding as America, not North America, not talking about the indigenous people beforehand. We're talking about white Anglo-Saxon Protestants for the most part from Europe. So that's your white culture. That's why other cultures seem different, right? There is a white culture. For the most part, go to the mall. The mall's going to be a little bit different than Taylor Street in Chicago, the Italian area of Chicago, or the Ethiopian area, or the Lithuanian area, or the Polish area, or the African-American area. You know what I mean, okay? So that's why, and that's why I would ask them, so in a multicultural center, whites aren't welcome? Because you do realize that's illegal, because you're discriminating based on race. Every single part of the campus centers you. I guess that's some kind of new terminology, meaning that the whole place caters to you. So can't we just have a non-white place at the multicultural center? That's essentially what they're saying. And then she's really mad and says they're just a couple of peak white cis male B blank blank. Okay, so you move on. And then she goes, you are a racist. By definition, because he has a Police Lives Matter bumper sticker on his computer, you are a racist. Your sticker is racist because police, that's a job. I didn't choose to be black. I have no idea where she's going here. It's nonsensical. Okay, I would just say, man, that doesn't make any sense. I'm talking about Police Lives Matter. Well, that was, you just have that because that's a reaction to Black Lives Matter. Yes, because let me just ask you a question. May I ask you a question, please? Yes. What percentage of the police across the country do you believe are hopelessly corrupt and racist? What percentage? And if she says all of them, then I would say, ma'am, seriously, I understand we're in an argument right now, but do you really believe every, including the black officers, including the Hispanic officers, including the Asian officers, the female officers, you believe that every single police officer, by the way, do you know how many there are in this country? Now, this is when I start spouting facts because then people know I know what I'm talking about. Okay. Do you know how many police officers are in this country? No, too many. I say, okay, fine. There's 750,000. So you're saying that you believe all 750,000 are racist pigs. Yes, you bet they are. I had an African-American gentleman call in here a couple years ago because once a year at least, I'll say black callers only, generally in response to where something has happened and a white officer has taken the life of a young black man of any age, whatever. But you know the situation. And so I'll say, okay, I just want to hear from my African-American friends how you're feeling and processing this. I'm not going to debate you. I just want to hear what you think. And this one gentleman called in and he goes, they're all a bunch of racists. And I said, sir, do you really believe every single police officer in America is a racist? You're blank right, I do. Well, what do you do with that? At that point, I think he's overtaken with grief and rage. He's certainly not thinking because the follow-up question is what? I do this to my students all the time. Do you know every single one of those 750,000 officers? No, I don't. Then how can you possibly say, honestly, that all of them are racist? Do you believe every white person in America is racist? To a certain extent. How can you say that? Do you know every single white person? No, I don't. Then you can't say that. Okay? All I'm trying to do is appeal to a little bit of logic here, okay? This is the violence that ASU does, the type of people that they protect. So that's violent? See, they just changed the definition of the word violent, and we just call it violence. You're doing violence to me. Really? I haven't touched you. I haven't even threatened you. The multicultural space is then not for use by white people. Okay, you are a racist. Your sticker is racist because police, that's a job. They didn't choose that, unlike a black person can't choose your skin. Kill people with a badge. You are protecting that, which means you're a racist. So you see what's going on here. This is all emotive. It's all just taking a clap track, a narrative that's been spoken out there, that all police are racist. And again, I would just come back and say, so you really believe that every single police officer in America, all 750,000 of them, every single one of them is a racist? Yes. Do you have any proof of that? Well, yeah, we got all kinds of dead black people. Okay. We don't have all kinds of dead black people, not at the hands of police officers. Do you know how many people the police officers nationwide killed last year? Do you know how many of them were black? Do you know how many of them were young? Do you know how many of them were allegedly unarmed? It's about 9 or 10. So there's just no, now at this point, if she won't have a rational conversation, for me, as a Christian, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, I'm going to get up and walk away. But I'm still going to try this. The type of people that they protect, yada, yada, yada. You are a racist. Killing people with a badge, you're protecting that, which means you're a racist. So you believe every one of them's a racist. These people kill people like me. So what you are promoting are murderers. Okay, so what? You really believe that when I put, do you really think this, ma'am? I put a Police Lives Matter, which, yes, was a reaction to Black Lives Matter because a lot of people were saying all the police are racist pigs. I don't believe that. There's absolutely no data to support that. That's just a salacious charge. I understand where it comes from out of frustration and anger and history. But if it's not accurate, it's not accurate. So I understand where that's coming from. But the only reason I put that on there is because I'm not going to throw every police officer under the bus because I don't want to live in a country without police because you think it's bad now. If we remove the police, which actually we've seen what happens in Portland, we've seen what happens to a certain extent in Minneapolis. We know these things. You pull the police out, people aren't basically good. People can be really bad. Now, I could trigger them and say, now, for me as a Christian, do either of you happen to be a Christian? No, blankety blank. Okay, fine. For me as a Christian, I know that we all have a problem. We all have a sin nature. And I know that we're kind of bent in that direction. So if you take law and order out, if you take government out, it's not pretty. Go look at Mogadishu. Go look at Somalia. Go look at Portland. Chaz and Chop. What happens? Our worst nature comes out. Let's play this one more time because I just want people to hear this and understand what's going on out there. But you have to know the facts and you got to be able to just deliberate and debate and talk about the issues. Try not to over-emote. But this is something to pray about and to care about and to be concerned about because this is all emotion and almost no intellect. Okay, play it again. But this is something to pray about and to care about. But this is
like
something
that... And like us, right? So you're promoting our murderers. So please just don't do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So why should that bother you?
Because! Do you understand that Police Lives Matter was in response to Black Lives Matter?
Yep.
Hold on.
Yeah, that's fine. And you have everywhere. You have.
I'm working 60 hours a week while going to school because my parents don't just give me money.
But,
it doesn't.
What did I do wrong?
You have a bad.
I'm not bad. Okay, there we go. All right. Sorry, everybody. There's some issues here in the studio. But just remember, okay, this is the reason I want you to watch this, and I've been talking about it because there is a way to go through this. Okay. You have to pay attention. You have to listen carefully. You have to think like Jesus. Jesus oftentimes replied with a question. Ask some clarifying questions. Ask questions because that will generally slow down the encounter. And you're trying to ask questions, which is forcing them to stop. It stops the emotion. Ask a decent question, which hopefully will engage their intellect, and that will slow things down. That's why I said it's offensive. Okay, let me ask you a question right quick. Do you mind if I ask you a question, please? Okay, hold on just a sec. Do any of us have a right not to be offended? Otherwise, we're going to run around and shut stuff down all over the place. Now, let me explain this. I did this on the commercial break, and we're going to come back with David Fisher, our dear friend who's been fighting COVID, and praise the Lord, he's doing well, his wife as well. So we'll talk to David in the next segment. But just remember, here's what's happening on a spiritual level. Right back to Romans 1, suppress the truth, replace it with a lie. We don't like God. We don't like Jesus. We don't like the Bible. We don't like all that stuff. We don't like judgment. Okay, so we suppress that. We replace it with what? We replace it with a new moral standard. Here's our moral standard. Wokeism, transgenderism, homosexuality's fine, whatever. Okay, fill in the blank. So that becomes the new standard by which you judge, because we're all trying to be self-righteous. So now you, if you're kind of a conservative Christian type, you don't meet the new standard. We suppressed that truth. We got rid of it. Now we replace it with a lie. So now all of a sudden you don't understand cisgendered. You don't understand this. You don't understand that. So that's the new standard of righteousness. And if you sin against that, because there's no biblical damnation, we have a cultural damnation. That's cancel culture. So we're going to cancel you. We'll remove you. We'll take you out of the culture, out of society, to what is effectively then at that point kind of an earthbound hell. That's the suppression of the truth of God's way and a replacing with the lie. That's what's happening. It's always spiritual. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Thank you, Lord, for that little reminder there. As we talk about politics, culture, whatever, just remember that. And as dark and as difficult as the days can be, and as frustrating and as enraging and maddening as the days can be, if you know Christ, that song you should be able to just pop into your head and into your spirit at any given time. And I know that's certainly true for our good friend David Fisher. We've been praying for David and his wife, Mary Ann, had just a nasty, nasty, literally life-threatening case of COVID. And we're just praising the Lord and so grateful to have David back on the air. David, God bless you, brother. I love you. I missed you. How are you?
I love you and miss you. Thank you so much for your prayers and everybody hearing my voice, your listeners. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for praying for my wife and I. And because of your guys' prayers, I now have a miracle story to tell. We're going to get into that next week.
Yes.
Because it would take too long. And we're also going to talk about how there's a big cover-up going on with COVID. There's a simple medical fix for it. We're going to get into all that. It relates to the financial side of things, but I can't wait to tell that story. But thank you so much for your prayers, your friendship, and all your listeners praying.
You're welcome, of course, and that's part of the deal. We're all on the same team through Christ, and so we can set all this other stuff aside, the price of gold, what's going on in the markets. None of that stuff lasts forever, but our
Correct.
Camaraderie and our brotherhood and sisterhood in Christ does, so that's always the most important thing. But it sure is good to hear your voice, and great passage of Scripture as we're going to do a little Money Monday update here. You're really good at this. The God's always leading you in the right direction. Let's start with that, and then we'll go on with some other things.
So Genesis 50, verse 20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So I could comment on this, oh, till the cows come home. It could relate to COVID. It meant to harm my wife and I, but God is going to use this for his glory. I've already been able to minister to people. I've already actually did a prayer at a funeral service, both an opening and closing prayer, and minister to people. I mean, the story goes on and on. It can be all about around money. It doesn't have to be, but you know what the is tended for us as harm, and you can fill in the blank. God intends to accomplish his glory in our lives so that many lives will be touched, so that we have a story to tell.
Yeah, and then you become a steward of your affliction. And then it's, how do I bring glory to God? How do I use this, what he's allowed in my life, to reach other people and be, as 2 Corinthians talks about, to bless others with the, be a comfort to others with the comfort that you've received. And God just, in his sovereignty, David, I mean, I wish he hadn't been in his sovereignty twice now. You've been down some very, very difficult, staring death in the face roads. And we'll talk about that more next week when we do a Full Money Monday with David. But we just praise the Lord for that. And that was, of course, Joseph talking about that. Well, you intended for harm, his brothers in that case, and Satan's in there as well. But God intended for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And we know that's going to continue to happen, more fruit off that tree. Praise the Lord for that. So much going on, and good for you. You had a break. The world's still messed up, David, in case you didn't know that.
I'm not surprised.
But then there's the whole infrastructure bills, which now we're redefining everything. We redefine race. We redefine gender. So infrastructure bill, I know you guys are thinking because you're old-fashioned. We're talking about the planes, trains, automobiles, tracks, bridges, yada, yada, yada. But there's now we're redefining that into all kinds of other stuff. So is it an infrastructure bill, David, or bills, plural? It's a little confusing.
So there's two of them. One for $1.2 trillion, which is what you mentioned. Bridges, roads, railroad, power grid, broadband, water infrastructure, cybersecurity, public transit, airports, electric vehicles, charging stations, electric school buses. That's the $1.2 trillion that got passed in the Senate back on August 10th. August 11th, they passed the other infrastructure, the $3.5 trillion bill, which is a investment in human infrastructure like agriculture and nutrition, forestry, the banking committee. We're going to talk about what's going on in the banking. You're going to be shocked today. Energy, natural resources, small businesses, veterans, etc., health and labor, education, all that, $3.5 trillion. Neither of those bills have passed the House yet. The 1.2 is supposed to pass on Thursday, and they're trying to pass the $3.5 trillion House bill, but it's getting a lot of pushback. Thank God it is. Thank the Lord, because there's a lot of pork in it. Even some Democrats like Joe Manchin is very concerned about it. Bernie Sanders wanted $6 trillion. He thinks $3.5 is the negotiated, so he was on CBS Face the Nation last week. But is riddled with major problems, this $3.5 trillion. And this is on top of all the other spending bills we've already done this year. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. But the good news, David, I don't know if you heard this, Joe Biden let this slip out. The good news is that it's already paid for. That this is a zero-sum game. Joe said, hey, it's paid for. No worries. So I don't know what all your budget hawks are worried about. But so Joe says that it's paid for, but let's set good old President Joe Biden aside for a second. How do you actually fund this? That's $1.2 trillion for actual infrastructure, $3.5 trillion for a new definition of quote-unquote human infrastructure. That's, we're coming up on $5 trillion there, which is not being that impressive anymore. But how's that supposed to get funded? Because we know that Joe's wrong.
Well, every president says that their big bills get funded.
And
that's the case why we have a national debt. So,
good question.
At $28 trillion. So here's the shocking and very disturbing news. They're changing the 1978 banking requirement. The IRS now can look into your bank. If this bill passes, the IRS can look into anybody's bank with $600 of changing hands annually, personal and business accounts. It used to be $10,000 cash. Now it's $600. This is like the Obama healthcare bill. They tried to put it in that. Now they're trying to put it in this. The American Bankers Association is fighting it back with 40 businesses and other financial groups. They sent a letter to Pelosi and also Kevin McCarthy objecting. They're saying this would bring in $80 billion the first year, $700 billion the next year, because they're saying people are avoiding taxes and hiding money and all these kinds of things. But it really, what it is a take on losing your whole privacy. That's one way of funding it. The other way is even more disturbing. They want to tax IRAs.
Jeez.
So I know that others on national talk show hosts have been talking about this. This is actually in the provisions of the House and Ways Committee. If you have an IRA, this has nothing to do with gold. Call my company. There's a letter that we can have sent to you. You can send it out to your congressmen or congresswomen to fight this thing, because if they do it with one IRA, they're going to go after all IRAs and tax the heck out of it. Why? There's $20 trillion in IRAs.
Wow.
If they force, then the bill says they will force you to liquidate your IRA within 2 years. That's what's in the writing of the Ways and Means Committee by the House. Hopefully it doesn't get passed. They would provide significant tax revenue to the government. That alone will pay for this, and that's what Joe Biden put in this bill.
Jeez, yeah, that's another way of going, instead of doing the bail-in that we've talked about for a couple of years.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, $20 trillion in IRAs, that's too fat of a turkey for them to sit there and do nothing. Of course they're going to go after that. Isn't it funny, though, that at the same time they're getting ready to shut down because of the massive spending and the debt ceiling, so we've got the budget showdown, the debt ceiling.
Yeah, so the debt ceiling is the showdown. Washington is approaching this limit on this Friday, October 1st. The House has passed the bill that would avert a shutdown. So the House has approved the plan. Excuse me. All Democrats voted for and all Republicans opposed it. But it's not fully passed. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has made it very clear that Republicans are not going to vote to increase the federal borrowing limit. If they did, though, this would fund it through the government through December 3rd and put off the suspension of the debt ceiling into December of next year. But that more than likely is not going to happen. Looks like we're going to have a government shutdown unless the Democrats opt to raise the debt ceiling on their own, which they could. But if they don't, then we're going to be in default. And that will happen somewhere between October 15th and November 4th, depending on how much revenue comes to the IRS.
Yeah, just crazy. So you mentioned gold and silver earlier, but how is gold and silver responding to this? Obviously, there's an inverse reaction between the craziness in the market, and then when you look at the problem with securities or what's going on with the government and people start getting nervous, that's when gold and silver on the other end of the teeter-totter becomes more attractive. But what's happening there? How is it responding?
So it's just gold and silver is up just a little bit today in the face of massive government spending. But I think the more important things are, like Jeffrey Gundlach, the largest bond trader in the world, he said yesterday, on August 24th, that he's warning that the roadmap to losing the U.S. dollar as a global reserve status is now happening. He also said on the 23rd that the price of gold is in hibernation right now, but it's going to go a lot higher. And John Paulson, another billionaire hedge fund manager, says gold is going to go parabolic because inflation is well above expectations. Morgan Stanley came out on the September 27th and said silver might be a better hedge against inflation than gold. Gave five reasons why. And another person named Keith Neumeyer, who's a CEO of a company called First Majestic Silver, said silver is going to go into triple digits, over $100. So call my company. It's some education. Learn about diversifying, especially now with these spending bills.
Yeah, and with that IRA stuff, that's really scary. And the information you mentioned about that. How do people get that information, David? How do they do that?
Yeah, just even want to get the information on the IRA bill. 844-604-2575. You don't have to call for gold or silver about that. 844-604-2575 or go to landmarkgold.com.
All right, my brother, we're going to pray for you again as soon as I get off the air with our friends on Facebook Live. Go get some rest. We're excited to have you back. We praise the Lord for that, and I look forward to doing a whole show with you next Monday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you so much for your friendship and your prayers. And
you're welcome. Absolutely, of course. Thanks, buddy. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.